May the Lord help us to commence this morning by singing hymn 1107. 1107. When some sweet promise warms our heart and cheers us under every care, it is the Spirit's gracious part to take that word and fix it there. Hymn 1107.
Thank you. Shall we read together this morning in God's holy word from the book of Ruth and chapters 3 and 4. Ruth chapters 3 and 4. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself. And behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. Thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well. Let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning. And she rose up before one could know another. And he said, Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. And he said, Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her. And she went out into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, Who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, These 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he had finished the thing this day. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. Behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, and to whom he said, "Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit ye down here." And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, "Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was her brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants, and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then said Boaz, "What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." And the kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the manner in former time in Israel, concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbour, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, "Buy it for thee." So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, "Ye are witnesses this day that I have brought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day." And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. Do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee, of this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him." And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbours, gave it a name, saying, "There is a name born. There's a son born to Naomi." And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word and teach us to pray. Dear Lord, Almighty God in heaven above, do help us each now to bow before thee in prayer. Help us, Lord, to come rightly before thee, confessing our sin, our unworthiness, our poverty. Lord, help us to pour out our hearts unto thee. Give us each, Lord, a heart to pray. Lord, may there be that real prayer in our prayer. Lord, to pray earnestly for those things that we need. Lord, we do indeed thank thee that there is a way made through the wondrous love of the Lord Jesus, whereby guilty sinners such as I can plead thy gracious name. We thank thee, Lord, that there is that way made whereby the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Lord, do help us to be often in prayer. Lord, may we be day by day, hour by hour, praying our way along. Lord, as we would thank thee for the privilege of prayer, we thank thee for thy precious word. And Lord, what a heavenly field it is, and what handfuls it contains. We do pray, Lord, that it might be a precious word to us each. Lord, that even this day there might be that which shall be revealed to us from thy word. That which we will find stored up in our hearts. Lord, let fall out some handfuls of purpose, we pray. Lord, leave us not to indifference and carelessness. As Lord, we are able to meet in thy house. We thank thee, Lord, for the freedoms that we still do have. Lord, we do pray that thy house might be to us as the house of God and the very gate of heaven. Lord, may there be that communion with thee. Lord, may there be a witness here in this place, not just today, but continually. It was noised that Jesus was in the house. Lord, may thy presence be known and felt by each one here. Lord, we do pray that thy work might appear. So, Lord, do be precious unto us. Lead us and teach us in thy truth. Give us hearing ears and understanding hearts. May our hearts be prepared to receive thy word and to walk it out. Lord, we do pray for each one gathered here this morning. We pray for any not able to be here who would be if they could. Lord, we pray for any who have gone away from thy house who could be here if they would. Lord, remember them even this day. And may there be that stirring up of their nests. And may the prodigals be caused to return. But Lord, we do pray thy blessing upon our gathering here this day. Lord, without thee we can do nothing. We do pray that thy Spirit might be found moving amongst us to take of the things of Jesus and to reveal them to us, to seal thy truth into our hearts. We do pray, Lord, for any who have come with a particular burden, any who may be cast down and sorrowful and in trouble, any, Lord, who may even feel to be at the ends of the earth. Lord, those who feel to have sunk, Lord, under the weight of those burdens they carry. Lord, may they prove that underneath are the everlasting arms. Lord, we do pray for those who are seeking after thee. We pray, Lord, that it might be many, even each one gathered here, who truly have that desire to know thee and to know thee more. To know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Lord, those who can say, when wilt thou come unto me? Lord, we do pray that the seekers might be finders. Those, Lord, who perhaps feel like the one who cannot get free, the captive exile hastening to be loose. Lord, may there be help to continue in their coming. Like the woman, by her continual coming, and shall not God avenge his own elect, that cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. Lord, we thank thee for these things that we have in thy word. We pray that it might be an encouragement to us, those who have gone before, the exceeding great and precious promises. Lord, do give us faith to lay hold on them. Lord, we pray for each of the children, the babies and the little ones. We thank thee for them each. We thank thee, Lord, they are found in thy house. Lord, thou hast said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt take them by the hand and lead them. Lord, do teach them and grant, Lord, that they might, even in their young years, be able to understand a little. And those who are growing up in growing up into youth, Lord, may they take heed to thy word, to seek ye the Lord while he may be found, to call ye upon him while he is near. Pray, Lord, that thou wouldst watch over them and help them in their needs, help them in their education, at home, at school. Those, Lord, who may have exams, and then the waiting time, Lord, help them to wait upon thee, and to go before them in the unknown way. Lord, provide for them in all that they need, in their education and in the workplace. If it be thy will, for a partner in life, for a home and so on, and the various things that are needed. Lord, what a busy time it is for the young, but we do pray that they might remember this, that one thing is needful. Lord, help them to seek unto thee. We pray for parents with the responsibility and the privilege that they have. Lord, grant thy help to do what is right in the fear of the Lord. And how much help is needed in the days in which we live. Lord, do give us grace and more grace and grace upon grace. We pray for those in the midst of life, Lord, as we might say, Lord, though we do not know when it will be the middle of our lives, but Lord, those who have many responsibilities and burdens at work, at home, in the family, in the church of God, and many other things, Lord, do give grace to help in time of need, and strength equal to the day. We pray for those who are older, those for whom it cannot be long, Lord, those who have that weariness and affliction, not just, Lord, the older ones, but younger ones also. Lord, those who know what it is to be weary, Lord, we do pray that it might be able to go in the strength of the Lord. We speak of his righteousness, his great goodness, and trust in him. Lord, may it be for each of us, whatever our age and our needs, that we each can say, I trust in thee, Lord, for time and for eternity. Lord, it might be for each one of us, well while life endures, and well when called to die. So, Lord, do you remember us each in thy mercy. Do keep us from the evils of the world, which lieth in wickedness. Lord, keep us from grieving thee. And, Lord, in thy house, may we not be left to grieve thee, but do give us each a heart to worship thee, that we might, Lord, have our eyes up unto thee. Help us now, Lord, as we turn to thy word. Do forgive our poor prayers. Make up, Lord, where we fail. And do wash us each in that fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. That we ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 681, 681. Blessed are they whose guilt is gone, whose sins are washed away with blood, whose hope is fixed on Christ alone, whom Christ has reconciled to God. Hymn 681.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon the Lord for his help, I would ask you to turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 3 and verse 18. Ruth chapter 3, verse 18. Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." Especially these words, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall." Sit still. How good are you and I at sitting still? Even naturally, for some more than others, it's not an easy thing to sit still. Perhaps some of you young ones, your parents say to you when you come to chapel, "Sit still, sit still." It's not easy, is it? It's a long time to sit still. It's a long time to wait before you can be on the move again. And for those of us who are older, we're still not very good at sitting still, are we? We still don't find it very easy, not only naturally, but also in waiting upon the Lord, in waiting for him to reveal his will, in waiting for him to appear. Sit still. And because you and I aren't very good at these things, the Word of God has a few things to tell us. We have these three things. Stand still. Stand still. Sit still. And be still. Be still. What's the case here with Ruth and the word spoken here by Naomi, her mother-in-law? She desired rest for her daughter-in-law, who had been so faithful and loving to her. She desired her good. That is how the chapter begins. Naomi says, "Shall I not seek rest?" And Naomi, speaking here at the end of this chapter, "Sit still." That rest, that blessing, is coming. And Ruth here, she has, as it were, her life in the balance. What will be the end of all these things? Will Boaz, who she has been to see, will he redeem her or will he not? Will he show loving compassion to her or will he not? Will he make her his bride or will he not? Now these things must have been going round Ruth's head with all her fears. And what would happen? Her life was in the balance. And Naomi says, in kindness and in love, "Sit still. Sit still. Rest, Ruth. Wait, Ruth, until thou know how the matter will fall." It's lovely, these words that we have here. What does it mean, until thou know how the matter will fall? It doesn't mean there's any room for chance. not speaking of anything fortuitous, not speaking of any luck or anything like that. No coincidence here. What does it really mean? Until thou know how the matter will fall. Really it means this. Until thou know how the matter is decreed in heaven. These are heavenly things. These are according to the eternal and sovereign will of Almighty God. Sit still until his will is made known. Sit still until he has shown thee what thou must do. Sit still until he has made the way plain. It struck me in what we read at the end of verse 4, when Ruth went into Boaz. And Naomi says, you're to go into him, you're to uncover his feet and lay down. And then what? He will tell thee what thou shalt do. He will tell thee what thou shalt do. Or as we have it here, until thou know how the matter will fall, until there is that falling out in the lap of providence of what Almighty God has appointed. Perhaps there's one or more than one of you here, and you've come to chapel, you're anxious where you should go, what you should do, perhaps even something tomorrow, something before you, your worries. I shouldn't be surprised if some of you younger ones have got exams before you, perhaps even tomorrow. And it's natural to feel anxious. It might be something else. I don't know what it is for any one of you. But the Lord knows, and he will tell you what you shall do. He will make his purposes known. He will reveal his will. But sit still until thou know how the matter will fall. You know, thinking on these words, I thought of what we read of in Psalm 37. And there we have one who doesn't find it easy to sit still. The very first word of David in Psalm 37 is the opposite of sitting still, fret, fretting. How often do you and I fret about various things that come in our lives? Here it was because of evildoers and the prosperity of the wicked and all these things, they dragged David down, as they did Asaph in Psalm 73. But fret not thyself. You know, I was thinking of driving here. Those of you who may be interested in metalwork. When I was doing my apprenticeship, we learnt of fretting. What does it mean? You have two pieces of metal, they're rubbing against each other, going backwards and forwards. Perhaps even such a small amount you can't see it. And it wears away the material. It wears away the steel. And you have tiny particles of steel. It's so small they rust straight away. And it's like a red powder. That's just like us, isn't it? We're constantly fretting. Backwards and forwards, here and there. The very opposite of what we have in our text. Sit still. Sit still. But here in Psalm 37, we have this fretting of David with all these troubles that he had. You know, this has been a good word to me, what we have, and it's really very similar to our text. Verse 7 of Psalm 37, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. What does it mean? Trust in him. Wait for him to appear. Wait for him to manage everything. Wait for him to deliver. Wait for him to do that which you cannot do yourself. Wait for him to reveal his will. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Well, I don't want to speak of myself, but let me just tell you what it was. It might help some of you younger ones. It was again in my apprenticeship, and I was asked to travel to Berlin for a training course. And they said it will start at 9 o'clock on the Monday, and you need to travel on the Sunday. And then you'll be there in time. What was I to do? Well, I started fretting. I shouldn't have done, should I? But I did. And this word dropped in, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself, because of him who prospereth in his way. It's very easy to think how easy it is for others. They're not restrained like we are. They don't have all these troubles that we do. They can go and come and go as they please. It's not right, is it? Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself. Well, the Lord in his mercy, he did appear. The course was changed. It started on Tuesday, and I flew on Monday. And the Lord is good in these things. But it may be that one of you, or more than one of you, is fretting about tomorrow and the unknown way. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. It's not easy, is it? It's not easy to wait, and it's even harder to wait patiently. But you won't wait in vain, because you're waiting for him who says, sit still until thou know how the matter will fall. The man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing. This day he will come at his perfect time. He will come not too early and not too late. He will not be in rest until he has finished the thing of this day. Sit still, my daughter. Well, we think of those who were oppressed, the children of Israel. They were oppressed by their enemies. We think of how they were hemmed in at the sea. We read of it in Exodus, I think, chapter 14. And there they were in real trouble. They couldn't go forwards because of the sea. They couldn't go backwards. They couldn't go to the left or to the right. Surely they were facing certain death. And what did they do? They fretted. They were sore afraid. Said to Moses, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? You know how solemnly they kept saying this. Right through their journey in the wilderness, it would have been better for us to stay in Egypt. But hold on, the Lord had delivered them with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. He had put them in that way. Did they think it was wrong now, when they came into this time of great difficulty? Had they forgotten the one who brought them out with those 10 plagues out of Egypt not so long ago? Had they forgotten what he had done? Had they forgotten what he was able to do now? How quickly we forget what the Lord has done. What he can do. And we look within. And we look all around. And we don't look up. What does Moses say? Verse 13 of Exodus 14. Fear ye not. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more. forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Have you got the enemies coming after you, the enemy coming in like a flood, and you're hemmed on every side? What are you going to do? Are you going to try and find some weapons of your own? Or are you going to look up to the Lord and leave it all in his hands? You notice this, they had to stand still. Not sit still, but stand still. They soon had to move on. But they had to stay where they were. And the Lord would do everything for them. And what a wonderful deliverance. When Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the seas were divided. They didn't walk through knee-deep in water. They didn't walk through at their ankles. They didn't even get the soles of their feet damp. They went through on dry ground. And the Egyptians were consumed as they followed after the children of Israel. The Lord stretched the law by Moses, put his hand over the sea, and the sea returned. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And listen to this. There remained not so much as one of them. Why? Because of the Lord's promise. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. They didn't have to do anything themselves. They had to commit all these things into the Lord's hands, to leave it all with him, to lay it all at his feet, and to leave him to deal with it, because he is better able to deal with these things than you or I. No matter how great or how small that which troubles us, he is far better able to manage it than we are. Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, how the matter is decreed in heaven. So these are words for a fearing one, a fretful one, one who is troubled at the way that they are in, and what they should do, what they should not do. You think again of what we have in the time of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. And they had that great army come against them. And they were told, there cometh a great multitude from beyond the sea, and behold, there be in Hazaz and Tamar, which is on Gedi. What did they do? They feared. They set themselves to seek the Lord. They proclaimed a fast. They gathered themselves together to ask the Lord's help and to seek his face. And they prayed. And they really prayed, because of the great need that they were in. And what does the Lord say later in that chapter? Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid. Be not afraid nor dismayed. Perhaps you're afraid this morning about what's before you. Perhaps you're dismayed. Sometimes we're the one, sometimes we're the other. Sometimes it's both together. Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. They had every reason to be afraid. They had every reason to be dismayed, surely. Why does the Lord say, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. The battle is not yours, but God's. The Lord says, leave it with me. Leave it with me to deal with. Leave it with me to manage. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves Stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed tomorrow. Go out against them. What have you got tomorrow? I really wonder, as the Lord has laid this on me, I wonder what one of you or more than one of you have got tomorrow. I don't know what it might be, but go out against them. Don't look to yourself. Don't look to your own wisdom. That will fail you. But look to the Lord, for the Lord will be with you. And so he was, and so he appeared, and so he did wondrous things. And this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. You know, we have another word. It comes, I think, in that chapter, Isaiah 30. We have there the children of Israel. They're going down to Egypt. They're trusting in their chariots and their horses, trusting in all kinds of other things, but not looking to the Lord. You read through Isaiah 30 and 31 when you get home. They weren't looking to the Lord. What do we have? Their strength is to sit still. Their strength is to sit still. You know, it seems contrary to us, doesn't it? We think if we want to be seen to be strong, we've got to be up and about. We've got to be doing something. You've got to be going somewhere, saying something. It's not what the Word of God teaches us. God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Our strength is to sit still. When we are weak, when we're weak in ourselves, when we have no strength of our own, when we depend entirely upon the Lord, that's when we're strong. Their strength. It is to sit still. Interestingly, of course, the name Boaz means in him is strength. And as Ruth waited upon Boaz until she knew how the matter would fall, she found that that time would come when he would do for her everything that she needed. And redeem her to himself. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. Just one other character in the Word of God that comes to mind. Perhaps you've thought of it already. Where we have in the Gospels of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And it's very easy for us to be harsh about dear Martha. But Martha said some lovely things. And we read Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And it's very clear how much she loved the Lord in return. But she wasn't so good at sitting still. She was up and about. She wanted to be doing something. And she wanted others to be doing things with her. And so it was when Jesus came to the house to comfort Martha and Mary. After the brother Lazarus had died, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary sat still in the house. Mary waited for the Lord to come right where she was, to speak to her, to do everything for her. She had a calmer spirit than Martha. But how lovingly the Lord speaks to them. How that time came when the Lord did come to Mary. The Master is come and calleth for thee. She waited till she heard his voice. No doubt she was waiting with great anticipation, great longing to see her Lord and Master, a great longing to hear his voice. That time comes, and as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly. There wasn't any delay. She arose quickly and came unto him. Sit still, my daughter, until thou knowest, until thou know how the matter will fall. So these things, we trust they may be a help in the way of providence, in the way that the Lord has called us each to walk, to depend upon him, to look to him, to wait for him, to rest in the Lord, and to wait patiently for him. Not to be fretful, not to be over anxious. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't mistake sitting still with idleness. Don't mistake sitting still with laziness. It's not the same thing at all. There is, in one way we might say, a great activity in sitting still. That is, in prayer, in calling upon the Lord, leaving it in his hands, but inquiring of him, giving him no rest until he has done that which he has promised, until he has made known to you how the matter will fall, how the matter is decreed in heaven. Sit still, my daughter, but keep praying. Don't give up. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Well, we cannot leave this word without thinking of the Lord Jesus, the Christ of whom Boaz is the type. Or a type of Christ. It sets forth a poor, unworthy sinner. We think of Ruth. We read of Ruth the Moabitess. What does it mean? It means she's a stranger, a foreigner, an outsider. And yet she comes. She is brought unto Boaz, and he takes this outsider, this stranger and foreigner, to be his beloved bride. These things speak to us of the wondrous work of redemption through the Lord Jesus himself, who gathers in the filthy and the vile and the base and the wretched and forlorn. They have no goodness of their own, no right to this inheritance. They're not worthy of it. They cannot do anything to merit it. But Jesus, the heavenly Boaz, he draws his beloved bride, his church, his people to himself. And he says unto them, I will do all that thou requirest? What does he say? As Ruth is brought to Boaz. In chapter 2, hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. What does Ruth say? She is overwhelmed. She's not worthy that this great man should take notice of her. None of us are worthy that the great Almighty God of heaven should take notice of us. Then she falls to the ground. Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Has the Lord revealed himself to us? Has he taken knowledge of us? Has he made known himself to us? Has he made himself precious to us, seeing I am a stranger? And so Ruth says, let me find favour in thy sight. Thou hast comforted me. Thou hast spoken friendly unto me, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. She was on the outside. She felt to be so. She felt to be an outcast. But what do we read of the outcasts in the day of the Jubilee? Those outcasts are to be gathered in. The great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come, those who are far off, those who are in a foreign land, those who are under the hand of the enemy. They shall come. They shall come in that day. Though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. What do we have in Mark's Gospel of thee? The disciples on the sea, and a great storm arose. And were they sitting still then? The Lord Jesus was with them. He was asleep. And what were they doing? They were fretful, they were anxious. The Lord Jesus was right there. He was with them in the ship. He was with them in the storm. The one who makes the storm a calm. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. But they were fretful. Carest thou not, Master, that we perish? The Lord Jesus wasn't awoken by that great storm, but he was awoken by the cries of his disciples, of those who were in great need. And he arose and rebuked the wind and the wave and says to them, peace be still. And there was a great calm. What do we read also as it comes to my mind, as we've read Ruth here, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens, we have also in that account, there were with him also other little ships. They had not the Lord Jesus right by their side, but they were under his loving care. He stilled the storm for those other little ships also, though they must have felt to be on the outside, must have longed for the Lord Jesus to be near. Though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens, says Ruth. And so, what do we find with Boaz? There's a rich provision for Ruth. There is that morsel at the meal times, the bread and the vinegar. And she did eat and was sufficed and left. And she gleaned and she continued gleaning. And there was that which was set aside for her. We read of it in the Word of God at the end of the Kings, a daily rate for every day. Fear thou not. I will do unto thee all that thou requirest. Do we really believe the Lord is able to meet the needs that we have? He will give that daily rate, that constant supply, every day. all the days of our life. And so Ruth, she has this kindness bestowed upon her, this loving kindness. The one who says, "Thou shalt keep fast by my young men." And she did, and she gleaned until the end of the harvest. And then, as we read, she went into Boaz. She uncovered his feet, as it was customary to do in those days, and lay down at his feet, waiting for him to appear, waiting for him to speak, waiting for him to do her good. Are we waiting for the heavenly Boaz to appear for us, to speak to us, to do us good, to show us his loving kindness? Can we say we are waiting patiently for the Lord to appear? We're waiting to hear his voice. We're waiting for him to say, "Son, daughter, thy sins, which are many, are forgiven thee." And so Boaz says to Ruth, when he awakes, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, for thou hast not followed poor nor rich." She was a virtuous woman. It was very evident, not just to Boaz, but to those around. All the city knowest, thou art a virtuous woman. And now, my daughter, don't worry, fear not. You've got no reason to fear, Ruth. Why, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. I will do it. So the Lord says to his dear people, to his beloved bride, the church, fear not. I will do it. In him is all that we need, that rich provision, that supply. Of all our need, we read, "My God shall supply all your need." It's a well-known word, but do we know it enough? And do we really believe it? "I will do unto thee all that thou requirest." Not just the difficult things, not just the worst of your troubles, Ruth, not just some of your needs, but everything. He undertakes to manage all by the way and to the end. And so she lay down till the morning. She lay at his feet, and he sent her away with more, with 6 measures of barley. And she goes back to Naomi, and we have these words of our text: "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." As we read in chapter 4, then the man was not in rest. He could not be in rest until he had finished that which he was to do, until he had redeemed Ruth, and until he had made her his bride. And so it was. Those witnesses could testify of it. "I have purchased Ruth to be my wife." And we have the genealogy, we have these things in the line of the Lord Jesus himself, as the purposes of God are worked out. But just to come to this, the time is gone, but just this: the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. In that day, we leave Boaz and we look to the Lord Jesus. In that day, there was a day appointed for the Lord to appear, and there was a life to be lived, 33 or so years on this earth, of suffering and shame and reproach. And there was a day for the Lord to go into that Garden of Gethsemane. And on his dear head, oh, what a storm of awful vengeance fell. There's no rest for the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he had to go through that way because he loved his people, because he had engaged to do everything for them, even to lay down his life, to make a way, to pay the price of sin. Behold, we see in the garden a scene of matchless grace. It's Jesus in the sinner's place. The man will not be in rest. The Lord Jesus, he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished? He could not rest until he had done that which he was engaged to do, until he had finished that work. And that day came at Calvary when he finished the thing this day. What is it? Perhaps you feel the burden of sin. Would that we felt it more. Would that we all felt the burden of sin. But are you trying to manage it yourself? You never will be able to. But you don't need to. Fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For each one of his people, for every one of his church, he has already borne upon himself that great burden. He bore it to the cross, standing in the place of sinners. And he laid down his life to make intercession, to pay the price for sin, to finish the work he was given to do. The man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. And we have the Lord Jesus there upon the cross, and he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. It is finished. Nothing to be done, nothing to pay. The debt is cleared. The victory is won. The ransomed, forever saved in the Lord, with an everlasting salvation. Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he had finished the thing this day.
God willing, Mr. Kingham will address the Sunday school this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening, and on Tuesday evening Mr. Matthew Hyde is expected to preach. And next Lord's Day there will be reading services in the morning, and Mr. Chapman expected to preach in the evening. Let us close with hymn 1105. 1105. Jesus, engrave it on my heart, that thou the one thing needful art. I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Hymn 1105.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen.